Chapter 13. Serenade with a Chance of Snowstorms. It takes a few days before the effects of the test fade away. All the seventh graders seem just as shaken as I am, and I hear girls waking up each night screaming, haunted by nightmares. I'm no different. 3 nights in a row, I dream about the river ripping me from my parents. At first, I hadn't believed Miss Nurani when she told me that wasn't part of her illusion spell. Or maybe I just didn't want to, because that would mean admitting it was a memory. The same one that seized me in the lake after the planting ceremony. If it was, I haven't a clue what it means or when it happened, though I guess it would have been before my mom died. I'm not sure how the memory ends, either. Every time I dream about it, it just ends with darkness. Finally, Miss March, who apparently is the school nurse in addition to being the dean of students and the librarian, plays a white spell for us all on the piano in Harmony Hall, which she says will help us sleep better. It works, and the nightmares stop. I'm mostly grateful, but a part of me wonders if I'll ever find out how the memory ended. I can't help but think it might be a clue about my mother's death. I almost email Gran about it, but she still hasn't replied to any of my earlier emails, and I worry she might be so angry with me she doesn't want to talk to me at all. I carry that thought around like a hard lump of ice in my belly. But with the horrible test finally behind me, I settle into a routine at Mistwick. Thankfully, the rest of my lessons aren't nearly as bad as the illusion test, with the exception maybe of my biweekly tutoring with Mr. Pinwhistle. One-on-one tutoring is a required class for every student, so there's no getting out of it. At least in a class setting, I can hide among the other students. But when it's just the two of us, I feel like a mouse trapped in a box with a hungry cat. Nothing I play seems to be good enough for him, and mostly he just shakes his head and grunts with disappointment. Ensemble is by far my favorite. It's me and 7 other students, including Jai. We learn group spells we could never attempt on our own, but that are less complicated than true orchestral spells. Best of all, when it's sunny, Miss Nurani takes our lessons outside. Like today. It's been almost 3 weeks since I arrived at Mistwick, and though I'm still listed as last chair on Mr. Pinwhistle's chart, I feel hopeful. I'm not as far behind everyone else as I'd feared I would be, and I think I might actually be getting better. Miss Nurani takes us to the edge of the lake, which I've learned is called Orpheus Lake, after the famous Greek god of musicraft. It's a lazy sort of afternoon, warm for September, and the gently lapping water has a hypnotic effect. But that isn't why I can't stop yawning. "Pull it together, Jones," says Claudia, elbowing me. "Sorry, I didn't sleep last night," I mutter. "So?" Claudia scowls. "Not my problem." I'm not so sure it isn't, and I eye her suspiciously. This time, my exhaustion has nothing to do with studying late. "Last night, someone snuck into my room at least 4 times and shone a light, waking me up. The 3rd time it happened, I stayed up as long as I could, hoping to catch them in the act. Instead, I fell back asleep, only to be awakened 30 minutes later by another flash of light. Weird thing was, every time I woke up and looked around, no one was there. It was probably Darby, but I haven't ruled out Claudia yet. I know neither of them likes me, but still, I can't figure out why they'd go to the trouble of bothering me while I slept, especially since Claudia's teasing has slacked off and Darby doesn't even bother to talk to me. And neither of them look very tired. Struggling to stay awake, I focus harder as Miss Nurani tells us to pick up our instruments. We play a 9-instrument piece called a nonet, which has a tricky flute section. The spell is supposed to make the lake freeze over, which has Jai bouncing with excitement. He can't wait to slide across the frozen water, and even brought a pair of ice skates with him. But every time we get close to succeeding, I bungle the flute part, and the spell breaks. The ice crystals that have begun to form all crack and dissolve. We play through to the end anyway. We learned that lesson in the shell. But it's too late. Not even Miss Nurani's brilliant viola playing can revive the lost magic. Everyone glares at me. Even Jai looks disappointed. I can't help it, though. I'm so exhausted I can hardly see straight. My fingers feel heavy and useless. The fourth time this happens, Miss Nurani calls a stop to it all. "We're out of time today," she says, and everyone groans. "We'll try again on Wednesday, don't worry. Now go on to study hour." I keep my head down as the other kids and I head up the hill toward the school. "Nice work, Jones," says Claudia, glaring at me. "We could have been done with this 30 minutes ago and had extra free time to skate."
"Hey," says Jai, "we all mess up sometimes. Leave her alone."
"Sorry if I offended your girlfriend," Claudia sniffs. Jai turns beet red, and we shout at the same time,
"She's not my girlfriend.
I'm not his girlfriend." Claudia waves a hand as if to say whatever. George laughs at Jai's red cheeks. "All I'm saying," Claudia adds, "is I can't understand how she even got into Mistwick if she can't handle a simple piece." My heart flips over, and I can only stare as she and George head into Harmony Hall, leaving us alone on the front steps.
"For the record," says Jai, "I saw Claudia hit 5 wrong notes that last time through."
"You don't have to defend me, you know," I sigh. "I did mess up 4 times and ruined everyone's hope of skating." He rolls his eyes.
"Am I invited to your pity party, or is this a solo thing?"
"Hey,
do you remember the first thing I ever said to you?"
I think back, screwing up my nose. Something about my spider being a pyromaniac?
"What? No, not that. I told you the maestros like confidence."
I snort and pick at a thread on my skirt. It's hard to be confident when your fingers turn into noodles every time you get to your part.
"Okay, that's it."
Jai jumps up.
"What's it?" "You, me, free time, the Echo Wood. There. Out of the goodness of my enormous and generous heart, I will teach you, Amelia Vanessa Jones, expert chicken charmer, how to be confident. You're always saying you're too busy to practice with me, but this time, I'm not taking no for an answer."
"I may not have enough confidence," I mutter, wishing I'd never told him about the chickens. "But you have too much. I think that's what they call egotistical."
"Whoa, whoa."
He waves his hands.
"No need for that kind of language. So, we have a deal?"
"Well,
I owe it to you,"
he says quietly. He means the test in the shell, when I got between him and the dog. This is the first time he's brought it up since then, and I can tell he doesn't really want to talk about it. But if this is his way of saying thank you, I sigh. Doesn't sound like I have much choice.
"You never did," he says with a grin.
I wait for Jai deep in the Echo Wood, on a bank over a splashing stream. Our meeting place is a big mossy rock that juts over the water, shaped like a turtle's head. Jai and I found it last Sunday while we were exploring. Sundays are good for that. I usually manage to finish all my extra homework on Saturday, so I have the whole next day free. Most of the kids hit the computer lab or hang out around the lake. But the Echo Wood has become my favorite place to escape to besides the library. It reminds me of the forest back home, though, of course, the sound of the Echo Wood is nothing like my old normal trees. I take out my flute, deciding to start with or without Jai. I have the nonet memorized, but even so, I take out the music sheet and rest it on my knees. I play the melody and don't miss a single note. Below me, the stream crusts over with ice in response. "Why can't I do that during class?" I moan. Staring at the ice as it begins to melt again, I find my mind wandering back to the illusion test in the shell and the feeling of drowning I'd experienced. Since Miss March had played the calming spell, I haven't been dreaming about it. But every now and then, my thoughts return there anyway. And before I know it, it's like I'm sinking into the memory that's not quite a memory, groping in the dark for something, anything, concrete to hold on to. Panic begins to burn in my chest. What happened that night? Suddenly a wind picks up, blowing the sheet music from my lap. I lunge after it, nearly falling into the water, but the papers are quickly lost into the stream. Wonderful.
How will I explain that to Miss Noorani in class tomorrow? Lying back, I shut my eyes and listened to the music of the echo trees, sighing, whispering notes so faint I can barely make them out. The air is thick and warm, making me sleepy, and I let out a long yawn. I kick off my too tight shoes and let them clatter onto the ground, stretching my toes with relief. Putting my flute to my lips, I start to play, half asleep and lulled by the breeze. I push away all the things worrying me, my pile of homework, keeping the truth of my Mistwick acceptance hidden, all those unanswered emails I've sent to Gran, the disturbing memory of the dark water. Just like the day I got the Mistwick letter, I don't think. I just listen to the notes inside me trying to come out. They spark in my fingertips, guiding my hands, notes coiling from the flute in low, undulating scales. Mr. Pinwhistle would probably combust if he saw me lying on my back, lazily playing without a care. But I've been so stressed over getting everything perfect in class that it's nice to just let go. It's just me and the music, nothing in between. Nobody to judge me, no one to impress. I imagine myself playing so perfectly that the lake will freeze over from one end to the other, but I won't stop there. I'll make a whole blizzard. That will show them. That will make Miss Noorani believe that I belong here. We'll make snowmen and have a snowball fight, and even Darby will be amazed. The air turns chilly, and I shiver a bit, opening my eyes. Blue curls of magic are rising from my flute, wrapping around my fingers and drifting through the air like feathers. They're hypnotizing. I feel trapped in my own spell, hardly thinking about what I'm doing. I close my eyes and lean into the music, letting it take control of my fingers. Last time this happened, I panicked. But now I don't fight back. I don't feel nervous or anxious. I just feel like myself. Like this is me in my purest form, the essence of Amelia. I finish the spell with one long vibrato note that fades gently into silence.
Amelia Jones!
Startled, I open my eyes and sit up. Jai is standing on the other side of the stream, holding his violin case. He looks like he's seen a ghost. You're late, I say. He says nothing, just keeps staring until I start to squirm. What is it? I pat my face, wondering if I splashed mud on myself or something when I crossed the stream. What's wrong?
Amelia Jones,
he says again, quieter this time.
Why didn't you tell me you could do that?
Do what?
Compose.
Surprised, I look down at my flute, then back up at him. I wasn't composing. He takes a running leap, clearing the stream in a bound and skidding across the leaves, nearly dropping his violin. I scoot aside so he can sit on the rock beside me. His face is flushed and his eyes bright.
That spell you played just now, what was it?
It wasn't anything. Just random notes, me messing around.
Have you messed around like that before?
I shrug. Once. Nothing really happened, though. He jumps up and paces around the rock, fingers drumming against his case.
You have no idea, do you?
What are you talking about? Stopping dead, he looks me in the eye.
Amelia, you were composing, writing your own spell.
That makes me laugh. No, I wasn't. Composing is when you sit down with a pen and paper and work out melodies and harmonies and tempos. It's for, I don't know, old dead guys like Handel and Mozart and Schumann.
No, it's not.
He stops walking and looks at me.
Or at least, it's more than just that. Composing is twisting raw magic into your own shape. It's inventing a spell on the spot, something completely new and unique. It takes an incredible amount of skill to control magic like that. It's like grabbing a tornado by the tail and tying it in a knot. Do you have any idea what this means?
My heart is starting to pound faster.
I don't understand what he's getting at, but I've never seen him so keyed up. It's not anything special, Jai. Anyone can make up music. He laughs like he can't believe I said that. Are you serious? Anyone can try, maybe, but most people would either make dud spells, music with no magic, what fun is that, or the magic they did conjure would blow up in their faces. Hey, some people like music just because it's music, I say, thinking of my mom listening to the radio with her eyes shut, her hands lazily swirling to the beat. Just because it isn't a spell doesn't mean it's not special, or that it doesn't have its own kind of magic, the sort you feel. He waves my words away. I'm talking about serious magic here. Try to focus. Do you know how rare composers are? Rare? I laugh. Okay, now I know you're just Amelia Petunia Jones. Listen to me. I frown. Petunia? Really? That's your worst try yet. He groans. Listen to what I'm saying. There's a reason composing without permission is against the rules at Mistwick. It's against the rules? My stomach sinks. What if a maestro had seen me? It's against the rules because it's incredibly dangerous. Do you know what happens when most people try to compose? I shrug. He kneels beside me. When most people attempt composing, if they produce any magic at all, they burn themselves up, set their instruments on fire or warp the metal, blind themselves, or char their hands. They start fires or even make explosions. A chill goes down my spine. I've never done any of those things. Because you're actually a composer, someone who can invent new spells. Amelia, this is huge. Don't you see? You're going to be rich. You could compose spells for the best maestros in the world. What kind do you think you'll do? Classical spells? Jazz? Rock? You can make loads of money doing rock spells, though my dad would say that's not real music craft. But who cares about that? You'll be famous! But I didn't do anything. It was hardly a spell, Jai. Just music. Just music. Just music! He stands up and points to the woods behind me. Look what your just music can do. Rolling my eyes, I turn to look and freeze. The woods behind me are covered in fresh snow. It piles on the ground and on the branches of the echo trees, sparkling in the sun. Looking up, I see a small, wintry cloud formed over the canopy, but it's already dissipating. Jai tramps into the snowdrifts and makes a snowball, then hurls it at me. I duck, but not fast enough, and it smashes my arm. I wipe the snow from my sleeve and stare at it as it melts on my fingers, as cold and real and white as actual snow. It's no illusion spell, but elemental magic, one of the most difficult types, and this spell is far more powerful than anything I've ever done on my own before. I couldn't have done that, I say. Amelia, I watched you. I stood there and watched you create a snow cloud. I had been thinking of snow when I played the music, but I shake my head, unable to believe it. Play it again, says Jai. Don't you see? The maestros will go crazy over you if they find out you can compose. I thought you said it was against the rules. To do it alone, yeah, because it's so dangerous. But if they know about it, they'll probably get you special training and everything. You'll be like a celebrity around here. I stare at him, my heart skipping a beat. Would Mrs. LaRue be so impressed she'd forget about my test and just let me stay? Okay, I say quietly. I'll do it again. He nods eagerly, eyes rapt as I raise my flute to my lips. But no matter how hard I try, I can't seem to make the spell work. I vaguely remember the tune I made up, but my fingers can't seem to replay it. I stumble and make mistakes until sparks begin bursting from my instrument instead of graceful curls of magic. The flute seems to be getting hotter and hotter. Amelia, stop! Jai cries out. You're going to make it explode! My fingers begin to burn. With a shout, I drop my flute, and it lands softly in the snow, which hisses as the heat turns it to steam. I bury my hands in the cold slush. Ow, ow, ow! Moaning, I slump down and stare at my pink fingertips. It's no good, Chai. I can only do it when I'm not trying. If I were to show the maestros, I'd only make something terrible happen. They'd expel me in a heartbeat. He sighs. Maybe you just need to practice it some more. No, I yell, snatching my cooled flute from the snow. I hold out my burned hands to him. I don't need practice, I don't need confidence, and I don't need your help. I'm hopeless, Jai. I'll never be like you and Claudia and Darby. You're all prodigies. You've had the best teachers and the best instruments, and I'm just a chicken charmer, and maybe that's all I'll ever be. If that were true, you'd never have gotten into Mistwick in the first place. You're one of us. I stare at him, the truth clogging my throat for a moment. I didn't get in. I'm not one of you. But I don't have the guts to come clean with him and risk losing the only friend I have. So I slam my flute into its case and then jump over the stream. But I don't get a good enough start, and I just slip on the bank and land in the bottom, splashing mud and water all over myself. Great. I start to climb back up the bank, and a hand grabs mine and pulls me up. I collapse onto the leaves, panting. Thanks, I mutter, looking up. But no one is there. Jai is still behind me, on the other side of the creek. A chill races over my skin. What just happened? Jai jumps across, landing beside me. I'm only trying to help you, but you've got to want to help yourself. He heads back toward the school, but I can't move. I'm still trying to figure out who, or what, grabbed my hand and helped me up the bank. Did I imagine it? Am I going crazy? Or am I not alone out here? Shivering, I race to catch up to Jai. I can't get out of the woods fast enough.